What's good? This is Building People, where we're having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, and I'm so glad to have you with me today. Today is a very special day because we are doing something we have never done before. Last week's conversation with Yolanda Wild Praise Morant was so good that I couldn't edit it all out. So this week, we're going to dedicate the entire show. That's right. No praise report, no opening the doors of the church. Today's entire show is dedicated to part two of my conversation with Yolanda Wild Praise Morant. Last week, we talked about her being an artist. This week, we're going to talk about her being a graphic designer and the rules and the do's and the don'ts of working with graphic artists on building your brand, and even a little bit about how to become a designer yourself. If that's something that you're interested in, this show is for you. If you are interested in building your brand, this show is for you. So while I have your attention, if you are listening to this through Freedom Radio, I invite you to find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to fine podcasts, and subscribe to the show. That way you can get a notification every time the show drops. If you're already listening to us through one of those streaming mediums, let me invite you to rate and review, leave comments so that our podcast can become a lot more discoverable on those platforms. That way we can spread our little good news of positivity. And last but certainly not least, wherever you're listening to this from, share this with somebody that needs to hear it. If you think that they could benefit and be built up from what we are sharing on this podcast, invite them to listen in to Building People in any one of these opportunities. So without further ado, Yolanda Wild Praise Morant. That's good. That's good. So we're going to switch gears a little bit because what really caught my attention about you above your singing gift is your gift for graphic arts. And I had a friend a few episodes back, and she's a professional. You're a professional, but you have an awesome eye for graphics. Okay. How did you get started in graphic arts?
Church.
Of course.
Of course. So my story is I wanted to be an artist when I was a kid, but I couldn't draw. I love cartoons, present day. I grew up watching Disney, still watch it present day. So I grew up loving, you know, cartoons, stuff like that. What sticks out is like Spider-Man, stuff like that. I was kind of a tomboy. People probably didn't believe that. Like, I literally climbed trees and I played with G.I. Joes and Barbie dolls. And it was just kind of how I was. So I wanted to be an artist, but I couldn't draw. And then, you know, music came in and took up space, if you will. And so later on, I was always kind of fiddling with it, but I didn't really know much. And I just think along the way, God put little things in place to help me get there. So I was about 20 years old, maybe 22. I was the praise and worship leader, or one of the praise and worship leaders at my church at the time, called Kingdom of Faith. And one day I just had this urge, literally. And I asked the administrator of the church, could I do the church program? And without thought, she said yes. Mm. And I was in the church basement doing the church program, and I was horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. I can say it because it's true. I was. Yeah. I mean, I used 50 different fonts. I did this. Oh my God, misspelled words. Did this, did that. And my testimony is always that my bishop never allowed me to quit. I would go into his office. Let's say if it was a program, you know, the church program, where people don't really do that anymore, but, you know, the church bulletin, and it would be out and about, and I would hear my name called over the whole church after church, and he would call me by my middle name, and he would say, you could hear him from the back to the front, and I would say, oh my God, and I walk into his office, and he said, close the door. And didn't you see all this on this program? How come you missed this date? And you're not. Now, why didn't you? But he would call me by my middle name. which is Quincella. I'm named after my auntie. Quincella, didn't you see this right here? Yes, sir. Okay, and you, I mean, he would just go down the list. And then at the end of every time, he would say, well, I enjoyed you today. You sang really well. Okay, let's try again next week.
Right.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. And he never let me quit. So I changed my major. I started going to school for graphics. And I'm actually self-taught. So I started using Photoshop. I was working in PowerPoint. I started using Photoshop. And for me, somehow, which I truly believe this is all God, it just made sense for me. And so I transitioned from PowerPoint into Photoshop. And I remember the first flyer I ever did, my teacher said, this is not what this program is for. It is for this X, Y, and Z. I was in a DVD authoring class where you, it's not when you, who watches DVDs anymore, really, but when you open the DVD and you see all of the menu, we were learning how to do that.
Okay.
And I did a flyer instead of doing that. I was doing a flyer. All right. And she was like, this is not what this is for. And I remember printing it out, and I was like so excited. And I remember running in my pastor's office. I got left school, got to the church. I was going to school. I was working full time and going to church. Don't know how I did all that. And I was running to Bishop. Oh my God. I was just so full of like zest and joy. And I never stopped after that. He came to my job one day. He said, you're no longer working for free. And he said, today, you start your own business.
Wow.
He came up with a name over the phone. What you gonna call it? I don't know. You wanna call it Wild Praise? Okay. Wild Praise Music and Media. And that's how we got here. Kind of, you know, but it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of bad, you know, a lot of mistakes, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of tears, a lot of laughs, a lot of late nights. I mean, it's not as easy as it appears.
No, but, it is not.
I'm very, very grateful. No, it's not. But
yeah, you can say that again for the people in the back, because people think that putting a flyer together is easy work, and they almost get offended when you give them a fee. And it's like, well, I can do that. Well, then go ahead.
Yeah, it's not. I always say this. I always try to tread light because people can be a little sensitive. But in truth, it's not plug and play.
No,
that's not what it is. Now, 10 years ago when I started, there was no Canva. There was no Fiverr. There was no Spark. These apps didn't exist. We barely had touch phones. I mean, none of that existed.
Right.
So even today, when people, you know, they feel like, oh, I could just do it myself. I mean, you can. The result won't be the same. And it's not I'm so great. It's because of what the programs provide.
That's right.
That's different than your Spark or your Canva. Your Canva Sparks, I think they're great. I don't take away from them. I use Spark almost every day. I love it, but I think they're made for very quick things. Mm. They're not made to actually create advertisements or to create logos, a real logo, to create things that may have a little bit more longevity. So, yeah, it's not plug and play, and it's not as easy as it appears by any means.
Now, you just said something that as a professional, I want you to bring some clarity to. You said a real logo. Could you explain that statement for those who really don't understand what that means?
So, the best way to explain it is I always tell people you can use logos like McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Nike, stuff like that. The difference is when you create a logo, let's say I use Canva. It's not one of my favorite apps, to be honest. Or if you use Adobe Spark, you know, which is available to the public. So let's say you create a logo in Canva. Well, the thing is, it's only going to be what you call a JPEG. And so it's only going to be a JPEG. And what happens is, so this is what people should know. This part, you know, make sure I go back to school a little bit. But a picture is made up of really small, tiny individual pixels that all come together to form one image. So when you create something in your Canvas, your Adobe Spark, stuff like that, you're creating a JPEG, which is made up of a whole bunch of little tiny pixels. Well, the problem is that the more you expand those pixels, the more pixelated they become. And most of those apps do not give you high resolution imagery. They only give you low resolution. Somebody say, what's the difference? Okay. So something that's high res, like, you know, 300, 5, 4, you know, so and so, you know, 3, 4, 5, so and so forth. It allows when you pull it, as it gets bigger, that there's more pixelation, there's more room inside of that. But if it's a low res, that means, you know, it's all, the more you stretch it, the more it's going to pixelate, the more you'll see blurriness. So the difference is when you create those type of logos in software like that, it's going to have a bunch of pixels. And it's not going to be good when you try to do banners or billboards. You're always going to run into really big problems. Always tell people that. When you do t-shirts, we're just having a real conversation. When you do t-shirts, not a t-shirt that you create on your phone, you found some company printed out, but more larger commercial companies, they may not take the JPEG.
No, they won't.
Because it doesn't give room for editing. It doesn't give room for error. So a real logo should be created in programs like Adobe Illustrator. You can kind of get away with doing a logo in Photoshop a little bit now, but really Adobe Illustrator, because it allows it to become a vector. A vector image will stretch for miles and miles as long as it's created properly. So again, you go back to your Nike, your McDonald's, your Chick-fil-A, your Arby's, any companies you see like that. If you were to be sponsored by one of those companies, they're going to send you a vector image, more than likely of their logo, so that you have the flexibility to use it as you need to. That's the best way to explain it.
Really good stuff. And so, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on was to kind of give us some do's and don'ts, a commandment list, if you will, when you're working with a graphic artist, because I've had some experiences when I just really want to shake people and say, you want me to do what with this? And so yeah. if you could walk us through a few do's and don'ts for working with a person who is doing graphics for you.
Maybe some different do's and don'ts than my usual do's and don'ts. Oh, my number one do is always have professional photos. Everybody knows I have to think about that.
Oh,
my number
right there.
One is do always have professional photos. Now, I get it. Somebody can say, well, we're in the middle of COVID. That is true. But there are a lot of photographers who are still doing photo shoots right now in a very safe way, right? Because they don't have to be near you to get a great shot. But even if you have photos from a year ago, 2 years ago, always have professional photos. I am telling you, it makes all the absolute positively difference in the whole world. Okay, so please. Because yes. When you don't, you actually limit yourself. Yes. I'm going to tell on myself. I did a flyer. I did an event maybe like a couple months into COVID called Queens Pray for Kings. And it was just a whole bunch of Black women that I knew coming together to play for Black men. And I made the mistake, which, you know, everything I did this, I used a cleaned up selfie, and another designer friend got on me. And he said, why would you do that? I said, well, all the other people didn't have professional photos. And he said, you never dumb down yourself, ever. He said, if you were the only professional photo on there, that's what it is. And I have professional photos, right? So don't try to dummy yourself down in that, okay? Always have professional photos. That's my number one.
If I could just squeeze in right there, that is such a common mistake. People will send me, yes. I ask for a picture and I get, you know, phone pointed down, yes, with all this stuff in the background. And, yes, you know, I can make it look decent, but you can't make it look any better past the picture, because out of all that you see, the picture is the centerpiece. And yes, people need to understand that when you don't take the time, spend the money, and you don't even necessarily have to, in my opinion, you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money if you just take the time to take good pictures. You know what I mean? If you can't afford a photographer, but you got a smartphone, well, you know, get you one of these lights, give it to somebody who can edit those pictures a little better, just to give a little bit of edge past a cell phone selfie. And so, yeah, your picture's got to be on point. So thank you for starting with that, because that's my number one grade.
Yeah, and the other thing is there's always somebody. So I used to say this when I, you know, go on these tangents about taking professional photos, you know, and I get COVID has put a damper, you know, into everything for everybody. But there's always a student photographer. There's always somebody in your city who's looking to start, who may be willing to, you know, cut their price down, or they may be willing to give a, you know, affordable shoot away in exchange for you commenting about their work or pushing them. I mean, it can be done. So right. To me, there's never an excuse like, well, I just didn't have the funds. Okay, well, then you need to save up your funds. You know, and like you said, I'm serious, to do what you need to do, right? You can cut some places to do. If you really want to move forward in whatever you're doing, you're going to make the sacrifice to do it, right? I did a photo shoot. I went all the way to Atlanta. I was living here in Charlotte. I went to Atlanta because of what I specifically wanted. You don't have to, like, glam out. You know, girls, right. Ladies, you don't have to, like, glam out. You can just do your hair, look nice, and take a couple of shots until, you know, to pull you over time. But don't make any excuses. don't make excuses. Yeah. The other thing is, if these are do's and don'ts for clients or people that use graphic services, kind of get an idea of what you're looking for. Like, while we are creative people, and while God may have given us this mind to create, we're definitely 1,000%, I just say terms like that, we are, and I can get in trouble later, we are not robots. No. We don't know. Jesus does. I mean, he may download. I'm not saying, you know, so what Christian, we say, I'm not saying that God doesn't download. He does. But we're not robots, though. Like it's not like we just walk around just knowing, oh, you're X, Y, and Z, and you want this. Those type of relationships, those type of happy accidents, as I call them sometimes, they happen through time. Yes. They don't happen through once, you know, one conversation or your first time. And let me say this, even for people that I've been doing work for years, I have a pastor, I've been doing work for them for like 8 years. Sometimes I still don't get it. It's not because I don't want to. It's because sometimes the what they need shifts. So have an idea, take some responsibility for what you're coming to serve, right? When you go to McDonald's, you don't expect them to know what you want. I hate to say this, it's really in some ways the same thing. Yeah. You don't expect them to know that you want a number one. There's no way. So don't assume just because you're coming to people that this is what we do, that we always know, because we don't always know. Take some responsibility for your vision, your brand, your business, your baby, and kind of seek out what you're looking for. I don't know. I'm not creative. I hear that all the time. Okay, that's okay. Go to the Institute of Google.
Yes.
Type in flyer. Type in, you know, if you're doing a Black Lives Matter event. And it doesn't, because I know sometimes people, without going on this particular point, I know sometimes people feel like it may insult the designer. I can only speak for me. I'm not insulted. It gives me some highlight where to go. So I do have a rule. Right. I don't recreate what other designers have created out of respect for other designers, out of respect for the industry. I have a lot of designer friends. But this gives me some direction. Oh, you're looking for something like this. Let's create you something similar or something, you know, in that kind of wave. So be responsible. Know what you know what you're looking for. Think it out, talk it out, pray it out, whatever you got to do.
Because what happens to me is, what happens to me is people will say, oh, you know, I don't really have a vision for it. So, you know, just whatever you do is fine. Okay. Then I do it. And then, well, Could you? No, I asked you.
How do you like that? Not fair. Not fair.
None at all. And then want to be angry when I have to charge you for that because that was my time, and I gave you the opportunity to tell me what you want, or at least point me in the right direction.
Absolutely. Be fair. Understand that, you know, most designers, most creatives, and when I say creatives, I mean across the board, actually. Producers, things like that, if they haven't went to school for it, they've been studying it for years. Right? It's either school and experience or just experience. For me, I'm self-taught. So this is years of experience, years of making mistakes, years of, you know, being in these spaces or places. So I'm bringing you all of that. I'm bringing you these kind of conversations. I'm bringing you being, you know, talking to a Kurt Carr. I'm bringing you, bringing this, bringing that, whatever it is. So just, you know, respect the space.
Right.
Respect that people have put their hard-earned time and talent, sleepless nights, late nights into this. So whatever they charge you, now you can be unfair, right? There are some people who are just in truth, they just charge a lot. Then you just know that's not for you. You know, I try to be flexible. I want to be affordable. But at the same time, you know, you still have to live life. You know, I want people to be able to use my services. But I know in, you know, really humble way, I do the work. And I'm going to really give you my best. And even if it means I have to go back and do it again, I want to do my best because more than the money is the passion for me, right? So that to say, you know, be fair. Another do is be patient. Know that, you know, if you have a deadline, then you have to say that. You have to say that. Again, it's just something we don't know. So if you know you want something, today is Monday. You need it by Wednesday. You honestly should be prepared to pay a rush fee. If they waive the rush fee, you know, that's cool. But I honestly would say to the listeners, you should not feel like they should waive their rush fee automatically. A lot of times we don't apply the same things to people in these type of industries that we would apply to somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like if you order a suit, a dress, shoes, if you want it in 2 days, you have to pay a rush fee.
Sure do.
It doesn't matter who you are. Ooh, that's a good point. Doesn't matter who you are. They're going to charge you a rush fee. So the thing is, just because you get to talk to us personally doesn't mean you can wave around, you know, your status or whatever. Just be prepared to pay it. If they waive it, that's cool. And even in that, be honest.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, say you don't have it. Don't allow the person to do the work for you, and then you say, oh, well, I don't have it till Friday. That's not fair.
No,
if they came through for you and they did, now I'm going to be honest, sometimes you're working a lot. Sometimes it may take us longer than planned. That's why I said be patient. If they got 6 and 7 and 12 people and you're in that number, you have to be patient. And I'm not saying don't expect whatever the deadline was given. I'm just saying be patient. But yeah, don't be integral.
Yes.
Because a person like myself or other designers I know will be more likely to work with you when you're just honest.
Right.
And say, okay, I don't have $125.
Right.
But I do need to get this done. I have $75. Can you work with me? You never know what may happen out of that type of conversation.
That's
but
right.
It's like I always parallels. It's like when you go to the barber. You don't get to sit down at the barber and then when you get done, say, okay, man, have a great day.
Right.
You don't get to do that. Right? That's not cool. That's the same thing applies.
I can't take the haircut back. So it's done. What's done is done. Yeah,
so it's the same thing. So you know, no professional photos, knowing what you want, being patient through the process, definitely, you know, being respectful or kind to the creative, you know, honoring their rules, their policies. The rules and policies are in place for a reason. A lot of people do have change fees because when you keep changing whatever you're doing, which is your right to do, it takes away from the next person. So, you know, all of those. Some don'ts. Don't expect more then you should, you know, be honest. Well, so you said something about the photo. I've had people say, well, you did X, you know, XY person like this. You did, I use Sally Jane, not a real person. Well, you did Sally Jane's, you know, flyer like that or her logo like this. Well, she had different content. She had a professional photo. She had this or she had that. Or we spent time talking out the project. Thus happens a different result. So, you know, don't put unfair expectations onto the creative. Be real about what you want. I don't know if there's a whole bunch of don'ts more than it's just a whole bunch of do's. You know, do be respectful and kind. Do be honest. Do be integral. So, you know, the list can go on. But just, you know, be fair, you know. It's not as easy as it appears to be. Graphic design can be really overwhelming sometimes. It's because it's pulling from inside of you. It's pulling from your emotions. Yeah. It's pulling from your mental space. And in a space like COVID, you know, we're at home. We're not out to get out and fly and be on planes and see things that cause our creativity to expand and grow like we did before. So, you know, just understand, be patient and all of that.
Well, now that we are actually in a season where it seems like the online presence is even more pronounced now because of COVID, has sure. your business picked up because of that?
Yes.
It has.
Thank the Lord. Yes. So I was already busy. Yeah. I was already busy, but the first month, month and a half. I mean, I'm already a night owl by nature. I was going to bed every night at like 3 a.m. Just like crazy. It was just, and I'm grateful and thankful. I have no complaints, you know, but it was mayhem. Like it really was. And it's just me. And I am seeking help, follows and listen, like we've been telling this girl, yes, so I'm seeking help. And we're going to put all those things into action on this upcoming, you know, week. But it was mayhem because most of my clients are faith-based and people just didn't know what to do. And so they were trying everything. They were doing virtual services and revivals and car locks and this over here. And they saw someone, let's try this and let's try. It was just mayhem every day.
Yeah.
I'm grateful. But it was a lot to take in at one time.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, with that online presence that people have, do you work with people to establish their brand? Because I see a lot of people making the mistake, especially in faith-based, not having an overarching vision. And so their flyers are kind of like all over the place. And you can tell that they're getting 3 and 5 different people to do their work and to promote their events and all of that kind of stuff. So do you ever work with clients to establish a brand? And when you do you give them sort of the same feeling throughout all of the work that you do for them?
No. So your initial question, yes, I do work with quite a few people concerning their brand, their look, things of that nature. No, I don't give them the whole same feel throughout. So one thing I started that, you know, I've had to live up to that me and another designer were just talking about today. When I started doing graphics, I had a rule for myself that I would never create the same thing twice. And yeah, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And I didn't know that pressure would be so intense later on, you know? Yeah. So I literally probably have almost never created the same thing twice. And the type of pressure I put on myself. And I didn't think people noticed actually until I do work for overseer Kenneth Moles. And one day he shouted me out on Facebook. He said, yeah, man, she doesn't create the same thing twice. You want nobody to look like you. And I thought, oh, man, shoot. So I say that to say, I think it's hard to do. But if you, it's hard because again, it goes back to people knowing who they are. I venture to say that most people just don't know. There are people that have a true identity. They really know who they are, who their focus is, who they're called to reach, what sector, what audience. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't get a lot of those conversations. Because a lot of times people are just trying to get something out. They're not interested in the end game. Or maybe they're only interested in the end game. Maybe I should take it back. They're only interested in, yeah, like the end game of that particular thing. Yeah. They may not be interested in what comes down the road, right? So I find that most people just are interested in getting something done right now. And in this day of technology, again, with all the apps coming and stuff like that, it gets harder to be diversified like that, you know, to create this, like, not the same thing twice kind of feel. Because some people call and say, yeah, just change the date and dot, dot, dot. But in my mind, for me, it's like, no, you know.
Right.
If someone sees the same thing again and it's only a date change, people may be very reluctant to pay attention. It was something I learned from a professor once. She said, when you're writing a paper and when you get ready to start editing your paper, change the font of the whole paper. And I pulled that into how I do design in truth. And she said, because when you keep reading it and you've been reading it and reading it, reading it, and it's the same font, it's the same color, you're going to miss mistakes. And I took that into how I do design. So she said, your brain just kind of sees the same thing. So I always tell people, if you want to use the same flyer, at least flip the color. Because then when people see it, they're mentally not going to see the same thing again. It causes people to think a little differently. But again, to answer your question, I do. But again, I think a lot of people are just interested in right here, right now.
Yeah.
So very few people are interested in long, like, I think Jamal Bryant, I love that guy. I think what he presents is so cutting edge, but he's always been that. Whether it's from his voice or somebody on his team, they constantly stay on top. They constantly are doing things that just are phenomenal, but I also feel like that's who he is. So what we're getting is him. What we're getting now, of course, they're rebuilding new birth in a lot of ways. But what we're getting is the identity of him, the identity of new birth as a creative. I can just feel that. It's like a phenomenal feeling. It's something really, really dope to watch. But there are other times when I see other people, I wish they understood that and embodied that. And I think if we saw that, we would see something a little bit different.
So that what we've described is from the client's point of view, talking to a graphic artist or working with a graphic artist. Now, if you could flip that, what advice would you give to someone who would want to break into the business and kind of give them a few rules on how to handle themselves as a new entrepreneur?
Some of the same principles, actually. Knowing who you are. Maybe that just goes for where I am in this season. Knowing who you are and knowing who you are not. You don't have to compete. There's enough. So knowing who you are and knowing who you are not. You don't have to compete. There is a such thing as healthy competition. But I think what happens is people start to compare themselves to other people. So you start to compare yourself to a Justin Foster or to a Blair or to a Yolanda or to a JP. And the list goes on. And you find yourself trying to be in a lane that wasn't meant for you. It's the same thing with music. So learn your style, learn who you are. How do you create? What's your thing? Everybody has a thing. Everybody has a thing, right? So while I'm this glammy girl, I like to create. I like aggressive work. So my first design company I worked for was owned by a guy who was a hip hop DJ. He was a secular DJ, right? So all, everything we were doing inside of it was all club, and we did some church, right? Uh-huh. So I have this thing where I always wanted to create like a boy. That's the truth. In first critical air, I'm all girl. But I wanted to create like a guy, because I think sometimes guys, some guys have a bit more of a little bit of a of aggressive approach. I always wanted to create like a guy with the female touch. So no, you got to know who you are, know your element, know your thing. Don't be afraid to charge what you're worth. Be fair. Don't be greedy.
Right.
So being greedy is knowing you can, being greedy is charging people well above what you should. There is a such thing as a going rate. Now your rate is whatever your rate is. But don't, as my mama would say, don't kill the people. You know, like just don't be greedy and just seek to take. Because in my opinion, God's not going to bless that.
Right.
So be flexible. Know when to bend. My slogan is always know when to hold and know when to fold. Know when to fold. Know when to be flexible and say, I'll only do it for X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And know that moment, and know when to charge full price. Don't apologize for whatever you charge. I did that for years. Feeling bad, wish I could help everybody. You can't help everybody. You can't solve the world in graphics, which is something I want to do, right? You want to save the whole world. The reality is you may not be able to do that, but you can do your part. So knowing your worth, not being able, afraid to charge, constantly bettering your craft. It's a growing gift, or it's a growing skill. It never stops. Photoshop, those Adobe programs, or whatever programs you use, update yearly because it's constantly growing. Photoshop looks nothing like it did when it was originally created almost 20 right. years ago, right? I mean, what it was purposed for has long since grown. So the same thing applies. Keep bettering what you do. Review on what you do. I have a thing now that I started a couple weeks ago. I always post how are you spending your Monday? So, you know, a couple weeks ago I sat on YouTube while I was working and I watched a color theory video. It was like 3 minutes. I mean, that's 3 minutes. You know, so don't think you've known it all, you've solved it all. Another thing is have creative people around you. If you are the smartest person in your circle, you are definitely, this is a true saying, you are in the wrong circle. If you're the smartest person around you, you're in the wrong space. So be around other creatives, people that are just as good as you and greater. Be around people that are going to challenge you. Iron sharpen iron. So be around people that are going to challenge you and sharpen you, and they're not always going to agree with you. That is one thing that's hard for entrepreneurs. One thing that's hard for creatives, because sometimes we get stuck in our own way. We get stuck in our own vein. We want people to do it our way. And that's not always true. That's not how you grow. So I'll talk, man. Those would be my things to do. But challenge, 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 grow, 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 grow. Study, 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 study. Learn, 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 learn. Be open to try new ways. Everything does not have to have 50,000 pictures. You do not have to fill the entire space of the fly.
Oh my God.
That is so unnecessary. That is so not good. There is a thing called white space, dead space. You need that kind of space to create the balance. Let me say this part as a designer to another designer. I know it gets difficult to do that because sometimes the clients want what they want.
Yes.
And that's sometimes when you got to know how to hold and fold. And sometimes people say, well, there's nothing over there. And they just want the whole thing full. And sometimes what you have to do is you have to help people go gradually. Little by little, you have to have patience. You can't snap off at people. You won't be in business long. So <Right. laughs> you gotta grow people. Some people can take it off bat. Some people You got to do it little by little. And you just got to be patient through that process. But if you have creative control, you don't have to fill the whole space with flares and stars and ships and stuff. That's not necessary. To get your real design, like that you see on billboards and stuff like that, they're always a Wrinkle in Time. I thought was such a phenomenal movie poster, or the Avengers, or X-Men, stuff like that. And you notice it's amazing, but it's not overwhelming.
Right.
People can read it. Okay, this is my last thing that you can tell me. I'm done. You don't have to use every font that was ever created. Okay, so a real design rule is you should use no more than three fonts.
No more than three. And see, I didn't even really know that was a rule. It's just for my eye. I can't handle all of that. So I try not to use no more than three. And if I use three, two of those are going to be slightly similar so that I'm not overlooking. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
that's a good rule. You should have no more than three at any time. So my rule of thumb, I like script fonts a lot. So I may have something that's, you know, maybe I just did something, for example, that said Speak 2020. So Speak was in this, you know, like script kind of font or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean script like more current, like, you know, like somebody wrote it hand kind of cursive kind of feel. And then everything else from there, I only use two fonts. So everything else from there was another font that had several weights, which weighted fonts are really great because they allow you to create more diversity in what you're doing. So even a font like Arial, it's old, but it has, you know, the actual Arial, like the real Arial, it has like Arial Black, Arial Thin, Arial Condensed, this, that Century Gothic, or Lemon Milk is one of my favorite fonts ever. Lemon Milk, you know, things like that give you more. Yeah, Lemon Milk is really cool. It's kind of wide, but Lemon Milk is a really, really good font. So using fonts that have more weights, and that'll help you structure it out. So real rule of thumb is at the top should be the header. That should have probably going to bring the most attention. After that is going to be the subtext, right? That should be a little less attention, a little less bold, maybe not sticking out as much. And then everything else from there is the content. So if the date, you know, is just like itty bitty, that's not the point. You can put the date up in the corner at the bottom, things like that. Like I have a client, I constantly try to put the date up at the top, like real dope in the top with that. And they like, no, can you put it just back in the center? That's when you got to hold them both. Okay. So it doesn't always work, but you know, just open yourself up to try different things.
Oh, that's all good stuff, and I could talk about this all day, but we don't have all day. So if a person wants to work with you as a client, or maybe even want to reach out to you as an artist that may want to get some advice, or even want to book you as an artist to sing or whatever else, how can we get in contact with you? How can we find you on social media? And what do you have coming up, if you have anything coming up that you want to share?
So it's really easy. And this is my last thought when I say this, as I'm giving my information. Social media. When you build your social media, try to have all the same social media names. It just makes your life easier. It makes people trying to find you easier. And when we're doing your flyers, it makes it easier, right? So we're not like, you know, Yolanda 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Yolanda, you know, is pink. And Yolanda, it just make your life easier if you can. So yes. My social media, you can find me at Wild Praise across all platforms. So Wild Praise, WILDPRAIZE, see like Zulu E, or Yolanda Morant across all platforms. And I'm easy to reach. So that's it. Wild Praise or Yolanda Morant, or, you know, it's wildpraise.net, yolandamorant.com. But the best way to find me is just type in my name.
Yeah.
Wild Praise.
I'll come right Listen. Up. Do yourself a favor and search her on YouTube and get all of the videos of her singing, because
thank you.
My God, today, yes. Before I let you go, tell us about your Sunday night lives. You do lives on Sunday night, your late nights. Tell us about that, and how did that come about, and what's your why and purpose for doing that every week?
I can answer it all in one fold. I've been a creative, you know, for a long time, or a designer, or whatever title people, you know, use. And it can be a very lonely space sometimes. Sometimes it's very overwhelming. And I didn't always have people around me to push me. I didn't always have designer friends. When I started doing graphics, even though my pastor was pushing me, that's all I really had, in my opinion. I didn't really have other people sharpening me. You know what I mean? My pastor did, but I didn't really have people saying, "Uh-uh, girl, that is not good. What you doing?" I didn't have that for a long, long time. So once I got it, you know, I have it now. I just was one day, a friend of mine said, "Maybe you should try to do a live." And I was like, "Nah, I don't want to be talking to people, and I'm kind of shy, and nobody's going to want to listen to me, and da, 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 da." But I don't know what made me start on a particular day. But I do believe it's something God pushed me to do. A lot of it is because, again, you know, I know what it's like to, it was something God gave me, because I just know what it's like to be alone, to, you know, lonely nights, or, you know, crying and working. That's true. I have a whole nother testimony of just my life, you know, and what it's like to cry and work, literally. And what it's like to choose between, you know, paying your rent or something else, you know, and how hard the business can really be, or being a woman and a Black woman at that in business by myself. You know, I always tell people, you know, it's me and Jesus. I got a great dad. I got great parents, you know, but I've been God-employed for about 5+ years. You know, a little bit longer than that. So it's hard. But I wanted to do something. It was pressed upon me to do something to encourage other creatives, because I knew so many creatives who were quitting, who were literally saying, "I'm done. I'm not doing this." Without making it long-winded, I'm not doing this anymore. I know so many designers who have given up and said, "That's it. I've tried. I'm done." You know, they're not making any money. They're not doing this, doing that. And so it felt pressed upon me just to come on and encourage people and push people through and do the best I can to do from that platform. So that's really why I do it. The praying element, I was really terrified to do. Because I say, you know, since this is a Christian part, we speak in tongues, all of that. But I'm not going to be shucking my hand on Facebook. Now, I'm not doing that, Jesus. I ain't doing that, right? I'm not to be the prophet girl on Facebook, or, you know, here's my Cash App. I'm not shading anybody who does that. I'm just saying, I'm not doing that. But God said something different. So I felt led one night. I just said, I don't do this, but I just want to pray for people that are in this space, you know, and I don't do it for numbers either. So, you know, I don't concentrate on none of that. There are some days, I'm being honest, where I just don't want to. That's the truth. And I just say, "Nah, you know, I'm really tired today, God. I don't want to." And I'll feel this nudge to get up out my bed. Or a really good friend of mine, Lamar Harvey, out of Atlanta. He's a phenomenal graphic designer and photographer. He'll call me like, "You going live?" "I don't want to." "But you need to."
Right.
"You need to. You need to be consistent. So you need to do it. You don't have to talk all night, but you need to get up and do it." And you know, I've gotten inboxes and people saying thank you. And, you know, "I was going to quit," or, you know, I felt like giving up. Wow. You know, that's why I do it. I just want to help people at the end of the day. I just want to help people.
Well, that's it, y'all. Thank you for joining us for this special episode of Building People. I want to thank Yolanda for being our special guest, not only last week, but this week as well, for giving us such great information and little nuggets that we can use to make ourselves better in this world of social media, in this world of presenting ourselves and branding. We really appreciate you. So if you want more information about Yolanda, you can find her across all social media platforms under Yolanda Morant or Wild Praise. That's WILDPRAIZE. You can find her on all the social media platforms under either of those names. Let me invite you to follow me at I Am Derek J. Murphy across all social media platforms. Well, all except for Snapchat, because y'all know I don't do that. Let me invite you once again to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share this with someone who needs to hear it. Let me also invite you to go back and listen to episodes that you may have missed, because we are always having conversations that are edifying and building people up. So, as I always say, know that God loves you best. I love you best I can, and we'll see y'all the next time. Peace.